Hello, friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. It is Tuesday and a cloudy, chilly Tuesday here in Brooklyn, New York. A great opportunity for God's sunshine to shine on us. So we want to continue our study today in Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. And we want to see what the Word of God tells us here. As we do the inductive Bible study method, starting with observation and then continuing with the interpretation stage. So today, let's pray and then we'll dig right into God's Word. Thank you, Lord, so much for the light of the Word of God. Thank you for the love of God. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now open our eyes to see, to understand your word. Apply it to our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we just introduced the interpretation section last week, and so I'd like to continue on here. Let me say again, if you do not have the study notes and the questions, you're welcome to email me or Facebook message us, and I will email these questions to you. So we're starting the interpretation section of chapter 8, and I want to read verse 1 again. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all of the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land." So the question is this: does God's mercy and grace appear in these words to Joshua? What does this teach about restoration? Remember, the Israelites had faced a terrible defeat in chapter 7. They had come from the mountaintop of defeating Jericho to the valley of being defeated by the little city of Ai, to having Achan's sin exposed, and then Achan was judged. And now God says, don't be afraid. Take the people of war and go forward. So does God's mercy and grace appear here? Absolutely. God is the Lord of the second chance. He specializes in forgiveness and grace. He did not abandon his plan nor his purposes for Israel. He had a future for them. Here he reassures, he re-energizes, and he refocuses. I just love this concept of God being the God of second chances. Have you ever messed up, even after becoming a believer? Have you somehow displeased God? You've fallen into some sin, and then you found that God cleansed you. He forgave you. He set you on your course. Well, we've all experienced that, and God is the God of second chances. Praise the Lord for that, his wonderful mercy and grace. And what does this teach us about restoration? God does indeed restore. After confession is restoration. This is the wonder of God's grace. Restoration then brings new territory for conquering and victory. The devil, our enemy, our opponent, wants to keep us defeated. But God wants to raise us up and help us to understand the power of the cross and then go forward. So that's a New Testament application from Joshua and the defeated Ai, and then the challenge to take on Ai again. Well, let's go to question number 2 from verse 2. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. So here's the question. Number 2 of interpretation. Why did God allow the taking of spoils here? and what can be learned about timing, priorities, and delayed gratification? Well, lots of things in that question, or those two questions. Here, God made special provision for Israel's needs to be met. Remember, Jericho, they were not to take the spoils. But here he's saying, you may take them. So he's making provision for their needs to be met. His glory and the priority of giving to him first had been satisfied at Jericho. And now he's going to feed the nation, take care of them at Ai. What can we learn here about timing? Well, Achan, remember, had taken of the spoils of Jericho. But his timing was off. It was not God's timing to take the spoils. That came later at Ai. He could have waited to receive his spoils, but he infringed on God's things and on God's timing. There's so much to be learned about delayed gratification. The devil is always wanting to get us to do things out of God's boundaries, out of God's timing. He has his own timetable, and it's against God's timetable. For example, here's a young couple, and the devil, they're not married yet, but they're going to be married. And what does the devil tempt them to do? To engage in sexual relationships before marriage. There will be a time for that, but not till after God's timing. Here is someone who's in the pipeline of promotion at their job, and it's sure to come that they will be promoted. But then there's some scheme in the office or in the workyard to bring the boss down, and someone seizes on that opportunity thinking that will elevate them. But it's not God's timing. And so many times in life, we are tempted to go ahead of God and to listen to the devil's timing and not follow God's timing. That's exactly what Achan did here. Delayed gratification is a good thing, giving God the priority place. Jericho was his. That was devoted to him. And then he would take care of the needs of his people at Ai. Let me correlate some scriptures. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And in Colossians 3, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Now is the time to seek after him and to put him first. And then he will supply what we need. So it is very important to understand the principle of timing, God's timing, and doing that which is so hard for us to do. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But oh, is it hard for us to wait. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I wish that Achan had waited on the Lord. But no, he grabbed that Babylonian garment. He grabbed that treasure, that silver, that gold. He took that to himself and then hid it under his tent. And it brought him down and his family. So here, God allowed the spoils to take care of their needs, but it was in his perfect timing. Well, from verses 3 through 7, what can be learned from the contrast of the promise of God in verse 1 and the military tactics of ambush and readiness here? Notice what God says. We look at the last phrase of verse 2, lay an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about when they come out against us as at the first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they're fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall arise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. Well, here is a strategic military tactic. And we have deception of the enemy going on here. So Joshua is going to lead them out and flee. And they would think in their minds, that's what happened to Israel the first time. And we defeated them. And so they would be drawn out from the city. Then that ambush behind the city that they didn't know about would come forward and attack the city and burn it. So here is a very key military strategy. Well, how do we compare that to verse 1 when the Lord said, take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And then the last part of verse 7, it says, the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. Well, why didn't Joshua just sit on a hill and watch the Lord deliver it into their hand? Why did he go through all these very carefully thought out military stratagems? Why did he do that? What's the contrast here between the promise of God, I'm going to deliver it to you, and the military tactics of ambush? Well, think about this. God's promises, or God promises, he makes promises, and we perform in the light of his promises. Joshua exercised his responsibilities and did not shirk from his duties. I, as a Christian, cannot excuse indolence and indifference because of God's promises. I work out what God worked in, according to Philippians chapter 2. I work out this great salvation that God has worked in. So here are some examples. Ephesians 6 tells us about spiritual armor. I can know that. I can recite the pieces of armor. I can know about the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. I can know about all of that. But if I just leave it there in my spiritual closet and don't do what it says, take up, put on, then I'm going to have spiritual defeat. Let's say I'm suffering spiritual depression because I feel isolated. But I know the scriptures say, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But I won't do what God told me to do. And so I just get further and further away from God and from his people. But all the while I'm thinking, well, I know that God is with me. He promised never to leave me nor forsake me. That's right. He did promise that. And he told you and me to not forsake the assembling. So I don't escape God's responsibilities given to me based on God's promises that he's given to me. God promises I will be with you, but he says, don't forsake the assembling. And if I'm suffering depression because I'm isolated, maybe it's because I'm not doing what God told me to do. How about the story of the fellow that was praying and praying and praying for a job? One day there was a knock at his door. And this fellow actually had only been praying, not for the job, but the result of the job. That is money for his needs to be met. And one day there was this knock at a door, and a person there said, I have a job offer for you. And the fellow says, well, no, thank you. And then he wondered why God didn't supply his need of money. God was giving him responsibility to go take a job, and he turned it down. Sometimes we can do that. Joshua did not sit on a hill here and say, God told me he'd deliver it to my hand. I'm just waiting. No, he kicked into action and he did his military duties here. He was not lazy. He was not indifferent because of God's promises. God's promises give us strength to carry out our responsibilities, and all the while, it's his power working in and through us. May God help us to do that. One more example here, and these are several applications. What about those who say, well, God will save people, let him do it? No, God said through the risen Christ, go make disciples. God uses people, he uses means. I need to give out the gospel. I need to disciple people. I need to do what God has told me to do. Well, let's look at one more. Question number 4. Compare the whole nation, this is from verse 10, the whole nation effort here to the partial army approach of chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. So in chapter 8, verse 10, it says, then Joshua rose up early in the morning, mustered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. So God wanted the whole army to be involved here. He wanted them to be engaged. He said in verse 1, take all the people of war with you. That's different from the council in chapter 7, verse 3, when those who had gone up to Ai to spy it out came back to Joshua and said, chapter 7, verse 3, they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. And they met their defeat because they were trusting in themselves. Here, God tells all the people of war to go up against Ai. Previously, the council of the spies was for only a few to go up against Ai. Here is godly counsel and God's strength. Previously, chapter 7, it was human counsel and dependence on human strength, and it ended in total failure. The whole army was to participate and show their unity, their cohesiveness, and their reliance on the Lord. Well, may God help us to rely on him, to exercise responsibility in the Christian life. God has told us to pray the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So we continue with our intercession using Operation World as a prayer guide. There's so much information in this wonderful volume. I'm just sharing some excerpts. But today we go to two countries. One is Estonia. It borders on Russia and is just south of Finland. It borders also on Latvia. Estonia is a nation that needs our prayer. Listen to this. Religious freedom is an open door to Christian ministry, but also to theological error. Many marginal Christian sects are increasing in number and influence. Mormons have more missionaries in Estonia than any Christian agency has there. So we pray for the truth and light of Christ to be established in this new marketplace of religious options. Pray for the truth of the gospel there. The next country is Ethiopia in Africa. It's across the water from Yemen. It borders on Somalia and Kenya and the Sudan. The Bible is increasingly distributed and read. Demand far outstrips supply. What a prayer request. Bible translation remains a major challenge. Up to 88% of congregations use local languages in their meetings, so Bible translation is a must. People there listen to audio Bibles. There's a need for that and a need for more radio broadcast. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much today for your faithfulness around the world. And Lord, we lift up to you Estonia. We pray that biblical Christianity will advance through the open door that is there. May the light and truth of the gospel, the true gospel, shine on that land. Send forth literature, send forth labors, send forth radio waves and internet broadcasts of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, for Ethiopia, we pray for language groups that don't have the scriptures in their language. Multiply translators and translations for these indigenous groups. And Lord, we pray that the word of God will multiply there. Multiply audio Bibles. And Lord, for the limited radio that is received into the country, we pray that you will bless it, but multiply it. We pray that Christian radio broadcasts will bring forth great fruit in the land of Ethiopia. And even though there's been a historical legacy of Christianity there, we pray that now the gospel of Jesus Christ will flourish and multiply, and many churches will be established there. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, friend. Let's march on in the army of God, and may his light, his love, and his light shine on us today. God bless you.